Hey, everybody. Welcome to Inside Lion Athletics, our weekly look at everything going on inside Lion Athletics. This time of year, not so much football, but maybe not. Don't run away just yet. We got Clint Dalzell here. Lions just are off of their spring football game. Spring showcase would probably be the best way to describe it. That's the word y'all used. Coach, how'd everything go Saturday? The weather was held off for us just enough.
Yeah, it looked iffy most of the day and most of the week, but thank goodness we got it in. Had a pretty good turnout as far as fans, and I was pleased. We came out healthy. That's always my number one goal. And honestly, it was a glorified practice. We did some situational stuff in there, and I thought the defense played well. And I needed to see that because we offensively I felt like we've handled them most of the spring. And they came and played well. We still had some big plays on offense, scored some touchdowns, but I was really pleased with how the defense played.
Given the structure of the thing, it wasn't like, you didn't make up games to score points.
Right.
You just did football stuff that you needed to do and watch and found a way to make it go quick enough in front of crowds and then get to the scrimmage part.
Right.
You know, there was some different stuff out there. I gotta go. Let's go to the GoPros to begin with. All the quarterback, well, maybe not all of them, but the
Yeah, our
quarterbacks,
first three.
the first three all had GoPros on top of their helmets. And I know that there's so much you can do with that visual. It's kind of like back in 2000 or so when a coach was telling us, we're going to get those end zone cameras because that gives you the look of how you teach the game on the whiteboard, how you draw it up. So now
Sure.
you get to work that angle. What extra do you get from a GoPro on a quarterback's helmet?
Yeah, you mentioned the different views. I mean, we have a sideline view, which is more for the skills, the DBs and the receivers and quarterbacks and linebackers, things like that. But then you have your end zone, which is mainly for you focus on the box, your offense line, your defensive line, running backs and linebackers as well. But then your GoPro is where your quarterback's looking, all the way. And it helps me. It helped me honestly with just to see what they can see. I played the position, but it's different now. They play a lot more shotgun than I ever did. So it's easy for me to say, well, just do this. But until you're actually out there and going through it, there's a lot of armchair quarterbacks think they can just, oh, well, he should have just thrown it there. Yeah, it looks easy until you're out there and in the mix and there's bullets running at you and unblocked guys running at you, and you actually get to see the lanes they have. You get to see if their progression of read is correct with where their head starts and those things. So it's a very useful tool.
And those progressions, like you say, where their head's at, it's like, kind of like
Right.
a water sprinkler. You look here, you look there, you keep
That's right.
doing it until you got a guy to throw it to.
Yeah, we hope that the first read we've called a good enough play where the first read's there. But it's not always there. And that's the quality of a good quarterback is, and we've really focused this spring on, if it's not there, find your running back. Because usually if it's not there, the linebackers are dropping deep enough where he's open. So give him the ball. And I'm hoping our running backs have a lot more catches this year and we use them and keep ourselves in good third downs because we are dumping the ball down to running backs because the defense has dropped too deep.
Hey man, we saw plenty of EJ Oakman out there. Love seeing that six. But how about this new kid, Quai Millbrook,
Yeah,
running back?
Quay.
Holy cat, Quai! He was from 120 to the other, just like that.
He can run without a doubt. You better take a good angle on him. And he's a threat we hadn't had probably since Reggie Branch, to be honest with you, with the home run ability to, get it. And he's pretty dang tough too. You look at him, you think he's not got a very big frame, but he's pretty durable. He's taken some hits in the spring. And he's not afraid, and I love that about him. And he can hit that hole. He's got good vision too. A lot of times, guys that are fast don't have great vision. They just, hopefully it's happening in front, and they hit at the right time, and they're gone. But he's got good vision, got good feet. I mean, and surprisingly, he's got really good hands too. So he's him and EJ are definitely weapons that will be used. EJ's our hammer. He's going to, he's going to go get that yard. He's going to do everything. He's your other quarterback on the field. He's going to protect us well in the pass game when we ask him to. So, it's nice to have a veteran like that to be able to bring in a Quay and get him caught up and get him in our offense. And yeah, we've got a good I'm not saying we're Detroit Lions with those two that they had, last year, but we're not far off. It's very similar.
Coach, we noticed more and more. I mean, we'd had them before, some of the padded helmet covers. Those are far more widespread on the team. Do you have them for everybody? I mean, is everybody wearing one now?
No, it's interiors. So anybody within the box, which includes your linebackers, your D line, your offensive line, and your running backs, those four positions, I guess, are more of gonna have car collisions than everywhere else. We're not supposed to be, hitting receivers with our DBs and things like that. So it's just protection. We're doing inside run and stuff. Can get really physical. It's hard to avoid contact. It's hard to avoid staying off the ground in time because there's so many bodies, so many legs in there. So just a precautionary, and you'll probably see a player or two, honestly, this season wear it in games. It's something that where it's a useful tool, and it keeps concussions from happening and just injuries alone.
Have you had any guys that are, they're just being football players? You're going to be a little bit aggressive by nature, but are they lining up and butting heads with those just to see how far they can go with
No, they better not be if I'm watching. So,
it?
again, they've been through this. These guys are, again, finally learned how to practice like we talked about off air. We had some injuries early in spring ball because we didn't know how to practice. We didn't, how to only do thud. We didn't know how to stay away from the quarterback. We didn't, reach out and try to hit his hand because it's just instinct to try to get to the quarterback. It's very important to learn how to practice, and I felt the last week and a half we really did that. So it's really nice to see going into the fall.
How have your practices developed? You're ready to go into year four. Coach, how's it gone for you, your staff, and just, really creating the thing?
It feels natural now. That's the good part I can say about it. It's easy. And that's where I wanted to get. The first year was a struggle. I didn't call plays because I've done that my whole life, even playing and coaching for 30 something years. I've always called the plays, and I didn't feel like I needed to that first year. But then once I got my feet underneath me and learned, a little bit more of the school side that and what I'm talking about as far as I had too much on my plate to really focus on just calling plays. But now each year, the progression's gotten a lot easier. I'm a lot more comfortable with, stuff off the field as well, and handling that business and making sure we're in good situations going, off the field and going into practice. That's just second nature. That's something I've done my whole life, and it's a lot easier now. And obviously, having good coaches around me. We got a brand new coaching staff for the most part. I have one coach left from my first year. That's Chase Paramorn, who's my right-hand man, and it helped me out on a lot of different things. So I love my coaching staff this year. We've got along great. It's my coaching staff. I didn't inherit some guys, and I feel really good about what we got going.
Those guys, we could see some energy, especially defensive guys. They're always
They
rattled
always
and
have
fighter,
energy.
aren't they?
Yeah.
Hey.
And my wife's always like, why don't y'all do, jump around like the defense? I said, we got a lot more to think about. We don't just run out there and make a tackle. They have a couple responsibilities. We have a lot of responsibilities. It's not just, there's a lot more thinking on the offensive side, and the defense coaches might say a little bit different, but
Sure.
there is. There you can react a little bit more on defense where you really got to execute soundly on offense to things work well.
Just tell her that y'all jump up and down when you score touchdowns.
That's
That
right. And we're
that'll work.
hopefully a
Hey,
lot more jumping and down this year.
speaking of touchdowns, Quay Middlebrook, let's bring him up again as one of the guys that nobody really knows about yet, at least following the Lions during the offseason. But who are some of the guys that are going to be like him that say, "Hey, whoa, where'd we get this guy?"
Yeah, no, he's a good one. He definitely fit in our plans. He will get a probably half the reps, honestly, in games, unless obviously some other guys step up. But defensively, we talked a little bit. Duncan Parham, defensive end. I think he's going to be a really good one from Central Arkansas. We transferred in. Kai Baugh is our defensive tackle, who is going to really cause some problems in the interior. Davos Sproles is a safety that we brought in. We get him alongside of Kupu. We're going to be really good in the secondary with those safeties. So excited about that. And we got a few more offensive guys. We brought in offensive line is going to be a pretty much, with exception of one position, a whole new starting line. And I love what we have going there. Coach Collins done a good job of getting those guys, going fast and have some depth along with it, which is unusual at our level to have some depth and feel comfortable about it. And the good news is too is we still have basically six, seven, eight scholarships left to go out and fill some holes, which we're already doing. We brought in a returner out of Utah. It looks like we're going to get him on board, and we've got a linebacker in today that we really like. Another poly, can't have enough polys, I can promise you that. And we're starting to get a little group of them here, and I love to see that because those kids play hard.
Well, I saw another Kupu on the roster
That's right,
Saturday.
Roman, his brother. Yeah, Roman's a
Excellent.
linebacker as well. Yeah.
I'll bet that puts some spirit in practice on occasion. So,
Yeah, they're
hey.
different cats. I'll tell you what, they're different personalities. Where Orion's really, high and outspoken, and this. Roman's pretty quiet. He's doing his job.
Great stuff, man. I can't wait. What else is there to talk about? Well, I guess you just start the countdown. I mean, do you have any practice left? You get to look at a few more guys.
No, we're automatically, right now we're focusing on grades. We have a week and a half, 2 weeks left, and it's all grades. We only have a little bit of lifting with them. So it's really making sure these kids are, getting in the classroom, finishing strong, and hopefully having a good GPA so we can, obviously spring is where you try to get your GPA up because it's less of a load on the players. When fall rolls around, we take a few less hours just because the grind of playing and going to school, it's tough. I'm proud of the guys. They've done a good job up to this point. And then summer starts. I mean, summer will be here before we know it. June 1st is summer one, and then we have summer two right after 4th of July that we get going. And next thing it'll be fall camp, and we'll be heading to Mercer.
Man. Macon, Georgia.
Yeah.
Can't wait. Go. That's let's see. That's where what's the Fort Benning's out there? That's
That's right.
where my dad did his basic training once upon a time, way, way long ago. All right, Coach, man, it's so good to talk football again. We love it all, but football is football.
I hear you.
All right, man. We will see you again soon on campus. Glad everybody came through the scrimmage without any aches and pains. And go Lions. We'll tie
Absolutely.
it up
Thanks,
right
Charlie. Good
here.
job.
Clint Dalzell, thanks so much for your time. We'll see you on campus this weekend. All right,
Sounds good.
everybody, stick around. We got more coming next on Inside Lion Athletics. Welcome back, everybody, to Inside Lion Athletics, our weekly look at what's going on in sports at East Texas A&M. I have George Pinnock here with me now. We got to talk football with Clint Dalzell, but now we got the man who manages the fastest people on the planet. How's everything going over with the thin clads? You just got a few of them back from California, right?
Yeah, so a really good trip out to California for us. Excited about what we saw and what we hope it leads to in the future.
I'm going to see if I get this right. Sine Hasanui has been one of our recent additions to the track program. And man, you said you'd seen her run fast before. But coach, you also told me she came in running about a 2 minute, 10 second, 800 meter run. And out in California, she ran 4 seconds faster than that. That's a lot of time. I mean, it's like 40 steps when you beat somebody by 4 whole seconds.
Yeah, no, I mean, a mid-year pickup for us that we were pretty confident could come in and make an impact right away. But just took some time to make sure that we were getting her back in shape, and some early season races where she ran 2:10, and those were good. You know, kind of some tough windy conditions, but just kind of, you know, kind of the rust buster for her, and we're pretty sure that each race after that would be faster and faster, and you know, I think we're positioned for the future to be really good for her.
That's great. Hey, tell you work with all the runners, distance, sprinters. How do you have to talk different to even a middle distance runner versus a sprinter? There, you start different for one.
Yeah. Well, again, I think if you look at, you know, some of the sprint, the speed power events, you know, some of those races, there's no real margin for error. You have to execute a technical model, and if you're off from that technical model, you're probably not going to hit the mark that you think you're capable of or ready for. Whereas in some of the distance races, you know, you just have more time on the track, so they can get a little more strategic. You know, there's different race plans you can go with. You can kind of look at the splits of an 800, you know, what the differential is from first lap to second lap, you know, the differences in runners, how you can kind of play with those. So, you know, I think you kind of link those things back to talking and preparing a student athlete for a race. You got to have those things in mind, right? Like, you never want to send your 1500 runner out and say, let's blaze this first lap and see what happens. You know, we got to have something in the tank for the other three laps after that.
That's right.
So, you know, it's a, you know, kind of keeping a little calmer, less excitement, just understanding that the race is going to unfold somewhere in the middle, and you got to be part of the race.
Interesting. There's more time for there to be positioning and strategy on the longer race, especially when the field closes in and everybody can run the same in the faster races. I guess it all ends at the 400 when everybody's got to stay in their lane, right?
Everyone's in their lane, and again, even in the 400, there's some strategies that are a little bit different. But you know, if you look at the elite, they're setting up the race all very, very similar to one another. So you know, once you kind of out past the 400, it's kind of a little more strategy there.
I never thought about this, but the elite athletes would. You get the 400 race, for example, and everybody's got a staggered start. Do every one of those athletes have a little bit of a different mindset for where they are on the track at the start of a race? Because it looks different from lane one than it does from lane eight.
It does, but I think you're also, you know, if we're talking elite athletes, you're pretty tuned into what you feel. So, you know, what you feel in lane one is pretty similar to what you feel in lane eight. And again, sometimes you can make the argument it's nice to kind of have someone outside you and maybe pull you through, and use that person. But for most of the elite, you're so tuned into what it feels like and what the technical model kind of leads to, you're not too worried about your lane.
When I ran it, I preferred like lane one, two, three. All the time because I wanted to see those guys up ahead of me and try and reel them in. And then jump over a hurdle. But it's a great sport and you can get in
It's the best sport, Charlie.
it. You're right. Hey, speaking of best sports, Rocklight was out at the softball recognition on Tuesday evening and I haven't seen him all year. What's he been doing? And how are all his kids doing?
Yeah, you know, I think we have a really, really good high jump group that he works with, and pole vault groups. So, you know, I think all of us, if we had our way, we would kind of be tucked away at training every single day, and just putting in the work out there, strategically placing our kids in meets at the right time to, you know, make sure that we're moving forward. But, you know, our vertical jumps group, our decathletes, training's been going really, really well for them. So we may be under racing them, or you know, less competitions than normal, but I think we're doing it for the right reasons and making sure that those kids are locked in and confident and feeling good about what they're capable of doing.
So has he ever grabbed the stick and gone out and shown him how to pole vault, or does
No, 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 no.
he just talks theory?
No, yeah, no. He teaches. He's a stellar teacher. And if you want to know pole vault from the technical side, have a 10-minute conversation with him.
That's great. Well, I probably have one of those coming up. That need to. All right. Sine's running great. Got some other lines running well too. And coming up, you're going to turn them all loose down at the Rice Invitational in Houston this weekend. How about this meet and what does it mean?
Yeah, the academic school year is pretty close to wrapping up. So, we kind of look at this meet as kind of the quote unquote last regular season meet where we can have most of the team. Most of them won't be overly stressed with academics or won't be working around a final. So we want to get as many kids out this week, and get them racing, get them jumping, get them throwing. And from there, kind of start to build out the team that we're looking to try to take down to SFA for our Southland Conference Championship.
Okay, very good. Well, that's going to be Saturday, Sunday, or Friday, Saturday.
Just Saturday. So one day, kind of broken into three sections throughout the day, a morning section, early afternoon section, and an evening section. So we'll have people competing all day.
All right, very good. Go down there and lap them faster than they lap us.
I hope.
George Pincock, head coach of Lion Track and Field, always good to visit. And we'll see you when y'all get back from Houston.
All right. Take care,
All right,
Charlie.
folks. Hey, stick around. More Inside Lion Athletics coming up after this. Hey, folks, we're back. More Inside Lion Athletics. We go from the thin clads to folks that walk around on a golf course all day swinging sticks. Brian Dalhide, head coach of Lion Golf, the men had their conference championship tournament this past weekend down in Kerrville. And man, it looked really good after day one, but then day two, day three got in there. And coach, it just wasn't our tourney this year, was it?
Yeah, no, it wasn't this year. I mean, we tried to make a push that final round and just didn't go our way this week. Had a lot of great stuff out there. I think our par five scoring really did us a number on that tournament. The lead team shot 17 under on the par fives, and we shot even par. So, and we lost by 15 total. So, par
There's a
fives.
lot there right there. Yeah. Well,
Yeah.
rats. Weather was a little inconsistent too. I mean, 3 days and you got every weather but snow and ice, didn't
I'd say it was anything but inconsistent. It was raining the entire time. It
Oh,
was,
Dan, was the whole thing?
Yeah, it was our first round was pouring rain. The second round it was raining, but we were still able to play. Third round finally saw some sunshine. I think it took us about 45 holes to see the sun this tournament. So yeah, I mean it was a great season. It's hard to finish up on that one, but really proud of Giannis for getting his top five. Really just proud of the guys for the season they had. A lot of improvements from last year and many more from the year prior. So, yeah, we just got back not too long ago, probably 12 hours ago or less. So it's still all hitting us, but there was definitely a lot of good that came from this season, and I know a lot of these guys won't be coming back. They're graduating, which is tough, but we got a bunch of new guys coming in next year, and just trying to build off of this season and continue to go.
And tell us a little bit about the recruiting process, and I guess there are golfers in the portal as well. They've got something for everybody, don't they?
Yeah, for sure. I've really taken a look at the junior colleges. I mean, we had a decent amount of success with
bringing in Matt Walters, Nike, Giannis, and even Davis was a junior college player at one point. He came from Wyoming to us, but he was at Midland College before.
Yeah,
So,
he was playing in his own sandy backyard.
yeah. So, I've really taken a look at the junior colleges, especially because we've played with them a decent amount of tournaments. But we get to see them on the same golf course. It's pretty perfect. And then just a lot of junior golf around Texas. And then having connections overseas, getting some help out that way helps as well.
You know, you talk about the JUCOs being a place to look. Is the portal getting much many footprints from golfers stepping in from the D2 or even I mean, Division 3 is a different animal, but I guess that's how they get noticed if they go in the portal.
Yeah, I mean, I was always told growing up, if you play good golf, you'll get noticed. If you're going in the portal, it's if you're a great player, you'll land somewhere for sure. It's tough with all these roster limits now, hitting and yeah, I mean, we always take a look at the portal. That's not my first go-to. I really like to go to the junior colleges because you never know what happens with a portal kid. Maybe he just wasn't playing on his team, and I don't know if I want a guy who was not competing for the last year. And then you always have to reach out to their coach. See what was going on, were his or her grades struggling and things like that. So there's a lot more that goes into the transfer portal. So yeah, you just always got to keep an eye out for that. But let's keep the junior college stuff on a little hush. Not
Okay, we won't tell. I won't tell anybody.
so our viewers don't start looking my way.
Hey, you said, and I asked you this, you know, you've been golfing all season. The guys have had a club in their hands almost every day, if not every day. And the time you need to take away from the game, it's not very long. I mean, what, one day, 2 days, and you start getting antsy to get out there and swing them again.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be some guys and girls hitting balls right now at our indoor. That's just the way it is. And, I know a couple of guys have a tournament coming up in a couple of days for the US Open qualifier. And then they'll start their summer tournaments. And like we were talking about earlier, whenever we have good weather, we're trying to take advantage of it because sometimes there's those rainy days and it lasts a little bit longer than you'd hope, and then the golf course gets drenched and it's tough to practice for a day or two. So we really try to take advantage of the good days.
You don't hear much about golf junkets to the rainy Pacific Northwest, do you?
Yeah.
They probably have a few courses. So, you know, you mentioned guys that are going to be playing in a U.S. Open qualifier. That's probably an annual thing for collegiate golfers, isn't it? I mean,
Yeah.
everybody, it's so it, it's an open. If
Yeah.
you can make it, you can play.
No doubt. Yeah, we've got the US Open local qualifier down in Waco. So we have, I believe, Davis, Cooper, and one of our assistant coaches, Alex, he's going down to play as well. So
So
hopefully they pair it up. Come
how many
one, two.
qualifiers did you play in?
Did I play in?
Yeah.
Oh, too
Did you take a
many.
stab at it?
For sure. Almost, I'm sure every year I definitely didn't make it. Yeah, no, I did not make the US Open, but I've played many qualifiers. Like They have the Illinois Stadium, they have the Texas Stadium, they have the Florida Stadium, things like that. So I would play those all the time.
Have you ever gone around the whole track with and qualified for the next tournament with nothing but your 7 iron though? That's the question. Like
That'd be
10
something.
cup.
That would be pretty impressive, that's for sure.
Have you ever had to play around, or not, maybe not the whole round, but if you had a club malfunction and like a putter, and you had to use a different club for other purposes, have you ever
Yeah.
had to do that with?
I think what you're asking is if I have ever gotten angry and snapped my putter on the green and had to use a wedge or something. No,
Well, yeah, the violence was not a part of the question.
no, I've never had to do that, but I definitely know some guys have cracked drivers in the middle of a tournament, and you can't do anything about it, so you gotta just move down to your 3 wood or your 2 iron or 3 iron.
Adjust your stance and let it rip.
Yeah, figure it out as you go.
Okay. Learn something new about golf every time we visit. I love it. All right, man. Well, what's up for the women? They still have theirs to play yet, right? Conference?
No,
Or...
the women's season's done, and so is the men's.
Okay. Well, rats. So I guess y'all just go play golf now.
Yeah, just practicing up for our summer tournaments and getting ready for the fall season now.
All right. So what is the off season, the summer tournaments and all do or as part of their training, do they play X number of tournaments in the off season or?
Yeah, a lot of them have a lot of them are international, and they have teams back in their home country, and they play a bunch of tournaments with that team. And then a lot of the guys and girls from the United States just play their summer tournaments, like all these qualifiers we're talking about, and amateur events. There's a bunch of tournaments in the summer. They just like to stay competitive, and whenever they're not playing a tournament, they're playing games with people back at home. So just getting ready.
Play golf with your friends. It's the best advice you can get.
Yeah.
Hey, we got to move on. We could, I think you and I could probably talk situational golf for a while, but
Yeah, no doubt.
we got to make room for other people in this program too. So we'll let it end today. You get you feeling better as well.
Thank
Brian
you.
Dolhide, head coach of Lion Golf. The year is done for the Lions competitively, at least in Southland Conference and collegiate action. They'll keep competing. Look for them on a golf course near you. We're going to take a break right here. Coach, thanks for your time. And we'll be back. I got Brittany Miller on the list next on Inside Lion Athletics. Hey, everybody, welcome back. We've got one more segment Inside Lion Athletics this week. She's already smiling. Brittany Miller, head coach of your East Texas A&M softball team. Coach, this last week of the season was going to be a busy one, but it turned the weather decided to unbusy you. But Tuesday was pretty cool. You got to recognize your seniors, and they got to recognize some people on campus that were important to their path. Talk a little bit about Tuesday afternoon. We had about 30 minutes when it didn't rain.
Oh yeah, we were able to honor, the track and field seniors out at our game, and then, it's always nice to be able to get other student athletes on the field and, be able to honor them. And then our athletes had their professors out throwing the first pitch, and we have a strong academic team, and our academics mean something here. And we got all of our seniors are graduating, some of them with our master's, some with their bachelor's, but being able to honor the professors that put the time in just like our student athletes do, it's fun. They get a kick out of it. They get to come out. A couple of them had their kids out there, and so it's always nice to be able to honor, the academic side. We always see the athletic side, but it's nice to be able to see the academics coming through too.
Heck yeah. I had one teacher in my athletic career. It wasn't a senior day, but you know, he meant the world to me because he helped me get through a class that I didn't even want to take, but you had to have sciences.
Oh, yeah.
I'll bet you had one or two mentors slash instructors.
Yes, I did.
Well, tell us about at least one of them.
Oh, yeah. I had a lot of different things that kind of got thrown at me while I was in school, from changing my major because I got injured. And so there's always those couple professors that are there to help you through all the goods and the bads, but also helped get us through to graduation as well. So I think every student athlete has one or two professors that they kind of lean on to be able to help them sometimes, you know, run through the finish line and some hobble through the finish line, but regardless, getting through the finish line. So it's good.
All right. I think one of the things I liked about it on Tuesday, because we were there hoping to broadcast, the whole UTA team lined up first base side, and they were right there to cheer on everybody, just like they were back on their own campus.
Oh, yeah. I think that what's throughout, you know, the softball community, we all are in this together, right? Where everybody's here to see their student athletes graduate and be able to move on and be able to just, you know, get that degree at the end of the day. And so for them to be willing to stay, even though we were done and we weren't going to be playing, to stay and, you know, be able to honor the seniors for track and field and then be able to honor those academic staff and faculty, like, it means a lot, and it meant a lot to our staff and faculty to be able to, you know, have that experience. And, you know, any time that we can get them out to any athletic event and give them a good experience and see what, you know, these student athletes are working on and at, you know, day in and day out when they're missing class or they're, you know, turning in assignments right at the, you know, last second or whatever it might be, like, it just, it's a good experience for everybody.
And your seniors, man, have they been builders?
Oh,
so
yeah.
it's not easy to go through a transition era, and
no.
You've got some players that have hung in there for every pitch, every out, every inning. It's a great time to talk about some of them.
Oh, yeah. No, you know, we've had some loyal seniors that have been here for the last 4 years, and you know, it's not always the wins and losses. And yeah, obviously we would have wanted more wins. We want a conference championship, like all the things that everybody wants. Like that's not lost in all of this. But at the same time, like we've got some tremendous student athletes that are walking through that have put their hearts on their sleeves, that have really helped grow this program academically and athletically, and they've left it better than when they got here. And so, you know, Tatum and Emma, Emmy, KK, you know, they've been here since day one. You know, we got transfers in there. We got Lexi, Haley in there that have transferred. We got Maddie that's transferred in. And then we have Emma Rodriguez that have transferred in. And, you know, they've seen the good. They've seen the struggle. They've seen the ins and outs. And super proud of all of them and excited to see what their futures hold. But at the end of the day, you know, it's not easy going through a transition and not knowing what you're playing for and not being able to play in postseason. But they've done a good job, and you know, they've given everything that they have to this program. So super proud of them.
Three games coming up this weekend. Knock on wood, we don't get rained out on any of these. Two Friday, one Saturday. And you played, so you know what those last games are as a senior.
Oh yeah. They're,
did you throw did you start in your last game? I guess you probably did.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I think that, you know, everybody focuses a lot on, you know, that last weekend, and you know, we kind of got Tuesday pulled out from under us a little bit with the seniors, and they're like, well, why can't we play? Can we do this? And you know, you respect that and you understand where they're coming from, because it's like, oh my gosh, this is really coming to an end. And, you know, my next chapter is going to start soon. And sometimes we don't realize that, you know, things could be taken in a second, and the weather definitely plays a part of that when we're an outdoor sport. So hopefully we get those last three games in with no hiccups at all, and really be able to honor those seniors this weekend.
Oh, when they get through this weekend, Coach, what are some of our student athletes going to be doing? Are they going to go into coaching, or are they going to go into medicine? Or are they going to, you know, go into business?
Yep. We have a couple that are going to be finishing up their masters. We got a couple that are going to finishing educate. Haley's going to finish her student teaching so that she can become a teacher. Maddie's going to be finishing her nursing school and getting all those things finished next year. Emma is looking to jump into her field, and she's going to do some marketing, hopefully for a company that she's been talking to. So everybody's going to kind of go in their different direction, but I think we have actually a good handful that are going to be sticking around to get their masters. So I'm excited about that too, and hopefully get them out on the field next year and help out a little bit.
And softball is what got them this far.
Oh yes.
Yeah. Great stuff. All right, Coach. I know, let's see, Friday it'll be at 5 and 7.
Yes.
Is what they're scheduled for.
Yep.
And then Saturday at noon or one?
Noon.
At noon. And be sure to keep your eyes and ears pinged to Lion Athletics so that you make sure if the weather comes back and gets in our way again, you'll know when that first pitch is.
Yes.
All right, Coach, we'll see you for those games, rain or shine.
Yes.
And that's going to do it for this edition of Inside Lion Athletics, everybody. Brittany Miller, thanks so much, head coach of Lion Softball, and we'll have them this weekend. Folks, that's going to do it. We'll see you next week on Inside Lion Athletics. Have a great weekend. Go Lions.